Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks. This is Carl. We are going to do another 90 minutes, continuing where we were last week, where we've been for a few weeks, and that is grace activated by faith. Nothing comes to us, or we can do nothing for God without His grace reaching out to us and His undeserved flow of grace. And the only thing that activates that is faith. And we're going to continue and we're going to see that. I've got another one. Let me make that on there. There we go. And I've got you on, right? Yes, I'm sure I do. Okay, now, before I get rolling too far into this, something I forget for. Oh, we got another one. Hello there.
Hey there, Carl.
Hello there, everybody. Let me give the guest call-in number. It's 319-527-6208. I should remember that because this evening I'll be dialing in for the last half hour of the program. And follow the instructions if you want to comment or speak. And I do encourage you, if you want to come on and comment or speak or even ask a question, don't hesitate to do that. If it's something that is going to require a lot of background, I might just tell you to mail me on Gmail, email your contact information and get a hold of you. Because some of the situations we go through, to be honest with you, you can't just sum it up in one or two verses. Sometimes you got to go through the context, but not always. It's just that I may elect to do that to give you the background information, because the whole goal of everything here is nothing to do with what anybody thinks. It's to show you what the Bible thinks. And I'm going to make a comment, and I'm not doing it to be polite. I guess I use that statement often. But there is also an individual by the name of Winter who has a program. And I'm going to say 6 to 9 o'clock Sunday evening. It's Eastern Daylight Savings Time right now, even though it almost feels like it's going to snow out where I am. It is still Daylight Savings Time. It's 6 to 9 Eastern. Then it'd be, 5 to 8 Central. But this is also
a
program.
Correct.
And I'm not saying that other programs, the only two I'm familiar with is this one we do and the one Winter does at night. But both programs are focusing on what Scripture says. And my opinion is only my opinion. Everything has to be looked at through the eyes, the glasses of the Scripture. And that's what we're attempting to do. We will go ahead and proceed. Would you, Raven, please say a prayer for guidance? We need guidance.
Absolutely.
Because even though intellectually, folks, even a non-believer intellectually can understand many of the words of the Scripture. I'm not saying they see the spiritual meaning, but we need to pray for the guidance from the Holy Spirit, who is the only teacher. I am not a teacher. Even if I might look at this as being a teaching session, I guide you to the one who will give you what you need for today for the exact problem you're in. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we just ask today that your Holy Spirit guide each and every one of us into exactly what you would have us get out of your word. We know, Lord, that there are those who are listening today who may not even know Christ as their Savior, and we would ask that they would particularly be touched by your Holy Spirit to hear that word so that they may be led to ask for Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord, we ask that any who are listening who know Christ would be touched by a word as well, for we know that your word does not come back void. And we ask for your guidance in everything that we say and that we do today and in the future. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, now we have Winter on. We have Raven. Do we have Olivia?
I am here.
Okay. Go bail it out on us now because you've set the pace for the last two programs. and I mean that. I don't mean that. I mean that in a good way.
Absolutely.
In fact, Raven, you and I have been talking in the week, and as we talked, we alluded to the meaning of much of this stuff. In fact, it was last night we were talking about Olivia's bringing up the validity of the parable of the four seeds in the sower and sowing the seed. Yeah. So even though the voice that you're hearing on the radio, folks, is a younger individual, if she believes, which I guarantee she does, the Holy Spirit has given her a tremendous analogy to explain what we're talking about by grace. Okay.
Amen.
I'm just saying, you can't bail out. If you do, you owe me a Diet Coke or something. And how do you get a Diet Coke 1,500 miles or whatever? Okay, we're going to continue. We're talking about the grace of God. The grace is something that I've heard bantered around with all kinds of human explanations. And I'm not going to go into all the theological definitions I've heard. Grace is simply God reaching out to us without anything we can do to earn it or deserve it. I am not capable of even imagining with my finite brain, which gets less capable every day, unfortunately. I'm not capable of even understanding why God gives us grace. And he not only gives it to us, but the more faith we are willing to put in him and him alone and repent of my own good abilities, he just exponentially increases that grace, which is his power, his work, his favor.
Amen.
Everything is him working through us. And as I am willing to take my soil, which is the only thing in the parable of the seeds and the sower I have control over, and allow him to be the one that works the soil, moistens it, fertilizes it with his wisdom and knowledge. As I allow myself to believe and trust what his word said, which the word is the seed, that's where I jumped on grabbing the analogy Olivia made 3 weeks ago to what we're saying about grace and faith to the parable of the sower and the seeds. The seed is the Bible, the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't change. The only variable in whether we allow it to die off, the seed, and produce nothing, or we allow it to produce 30, 60, 100 fold, is the variable we have is the condition of the soil. So, faith is what activates grace. So, would you mind, let's start. How do we activate this? What is the first thing that I need to do? Let's say you're sitting there and you're thinking, okay, I'll accept what you're saying. The first step, and I think for me, who was brought up in a very, very, very works-oriented religion, in fact, the that I was raised in, I'm gonna steal a commercial that Jeep had years ago that they wrote the book on four-wheel drive. The religion, the faith that I was brought up in, they wrote the book, and everything is by works. I'm not saying that everybody in that denomination now is that way. I'm saying in the era that was the emphasis works. The hardest thing, read Luke 9:23. This is the starting point. But to me, this was the biggest battle that I had out of all of it.
Okay. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
That is almost like drinking high-test gasoline. I'm going to tell you that to me was the biggest hurdle and still remains a hurdle in my life. Is it pride? I'm not going to go in and psychoanalyze all the things it could be. All I'm saying is Christ makes it very clear. If you want to be his disciple, his first thing he says is deny yourself. When he's talking about denying yourself, he's not saying deny yourself of things that are excessive or lusts or false gods. Of course, those have to go. That's obvious. He is talking in this context, deny your good works. Deny your effort to please me. We have done a very intense study in what sin is. In fact, I have it now on my YouTube studies, and I've been doing it. I think I just did the seventh one Friday on this particular topic of reading what sin is. The biblical definition of sin is anything not done in faith. When you really think about that, anything not done in faith. That means if I am doing this for any other reason than the Holy Spirit's grace and my faith in him directing me, if I'm doing this, I want to show how smart I am. It's something that I do on Sunday an hour and a half longer than Raven does, so therefore I've got to be a better person. And I'm exaggerating, but not totally. I'm exaggerating to make the point. If I am doing this for any self-serving reason, to impress somebody, to impress a pastor, to impress a church, to impress myself, to maybe hide my guilt for my hidden sins that I don't want the Holy Spirit to stir up in my memory, because after a while, I need to go back to Egypt. If I'm doing anything, even a good thing, for any other reason than the Holy Spirit working through grace, which is the only way he'll work, I'm actually sinning. Again, Romans 14:23. The last phrase, anything not done in faith is sin. All right, let's go to, okay, that's the act of commission. All right, let's say you have the sin of omission now. The sin of omission is the same sin. It is a violation of faith. The sin of omission in James 4:17 is anything that you know you should do in faith and don't do, that's sin. But we have the same parameter. It is a violation of our faith. And my faith is always violated because I have a better idea. It is me wanting to insert my goodness, my idea, my interpretation of the scripture, my read and take on what different things mean. When the Bible says this is sin, a declarative statement, and I want to explain to you why the Bible really doesn't mean that and how far I can go before something becomes a sin. Folks, the Bible does not need me to interpret declarative statements. We are pandemic in Christianity today of taking things the Bible says are sin, and we're rephrasing them and readjusting them in order to say, they're really not sin, or you've got to go so far, read the Bible. But where I'm going with this, what I have to do in order to be his disciple, I have to deny all of my ability and allow his grace to flow through me. Now, I'm going to take a step that I shouldn't take, but I'm going to do it. Because I know we have a young lady on the line. She has not had the time on this earth to absorb everything that all we think we're educated in, and I'm not knocking education, but it's not unbelievable. Amazingly enough, when she says something, she comes out of things that the Holy Spirit is giving her. I hate to say this statement, and if it's wrong, I apologize in advance. Maybe she just doesn't have enough education to not know that she's to listen to the Holy Spirit only. That is grace through faith. I have had so many problems denying what I thought was right, my silly explanations of what Scripture meant. I got to say that I don't think this young lady on the line with us, and I'm only using her as an example because she fits the exact situation. She may not have had enough education yet in false doctrine to go her way. She's depending totally on God. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are you sure? Okay.
Yes.
And I'm serious.
Yes, sir.
The more you hear from people who are not living strictly by the Scripture, and living strictly by the Scripture means when someone asks a question and you don't have an answer, you don't get creative. You tell them, I don't know, but you look and you try to find it. And when you do find it, you get back to that person. But I'm serious. It's amazing she could tie these things together. And I thought about her a lot as since that's happened. And I think that she is just looking. I know that her mother is very, very, very heavy with her in the Bible. They both are. And she just has not had the pollution of false doctrine, which is everywhere. The spirit of Antichrist is in the church. It has been for 6,000 years. Read the epistles. So she is relying only on the Holy Spirit. Now I'm coming back to this. When I all of a sudden come into this at four times her age or so, three times her age, what is my first thing I've got to do? I've got to deny my own ability, my interpretation. I have got to be willing to just allow the Holy Spirit to move. That is the first thing we have to do. The Holy Spirit is not going to create a battle. If you want to do things your way, you know, like Burger King said years ago, he's going to let you do it your way until you get to the point where you fall out of faith, you no longer believe because it doesn't work, or you get so tired of it that you say, I don't want to live that way anymore. But denying yourself, denying your ability, denying your wisdom, denying your man-made knowledge. Is there anything wrong with those things? God, Christ even says, be wise as serpents, but as gentle as doves. Be wise as serpents means in the things of the world, think. That doesn't mean we go in and we disconnect our ability to think. But when it comes down to his word, his work, developing, letting those seeds grow in our soil, so they develop 30, 60, 100 times, 100-fold of fruit. That has got to be something that we've got to take ourselves out of the way, take our education, take our good works. We have sold another thing, pandemic. And I've used that word for a long time, but I've used it in this vein. Another thing, pandemic, folks, is the insatiable desire in the churches to do works. Works must be a result of our saving faith. And we might get to that today in Titus 2:11-14. It has got to be the grace of God, not of my own mentality, nothing of mine, by grace through faith. Deny yourself. Now, once you are willing to do that, that doesn't mean that you just say, okay, I'm going to deny yourself and, you know, voila, it happens. No. The Holy Spirit will be the one to work that work in you. Read Philippians 2:12-13.
Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure.
Okay, let's take 13 first. You determine in your own will. You have no idea how you're going to deny yourself. 30 years entrenched in all kinds of man's wisdom, all kinds of workbooks, study guides, commentaries. In fact, 90% of it of Bible studies are held without Bibles. And that does happen, folks, believe me. You now decide you want to unwind. As a pastor's son very wisely told me, he has to take a break and allow his mind to be deleted of all the false doctrine he's heard and just go straight to the scripture and let the Holy Spirit teach him. I reference a pastor, Dave, who is the one who was the first person that ever preached the truth to me. It was his son. And at that time, it just blew my mind. He's telling me that he's got to let his mind unwind, but he understood that his wisdom is not the wisdom that God is looking for. Deny his ability. Am I saying you don't read and study the scripture? Of course not. That would be using biblical verses to contradict other verses that says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's another thing don't do. Don't use biblical verses like Raven and I were exposed to this week that contradict other biblical verses. That doesn't even make sense. If someone's going to write a book, they're not contradicting themselves in the book, I don't think. So anyhow, you want to deny yourself. Read 13 again. Here is the key. 2:13.
For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure.
All he's asking us to do is to be willing to deny our ability and let his grace, his wisdom, his knowledge flow through us, empower us, motivate us, give us the will, and give us the power. This sounds kind of, I don't know the word to use, but it almost seems like I'm in the cloud somewhere. But the Holy Spirit will, if we're willing to believe him, that we deny our ability and let his wisdom, his knowledge, his grace, his power flow through us. It will happen. It
Amen.
Will happen. I'm only saying this not because it's the right thing to say, but because I have experienced it. Okay,
yeah.
Now, when you are allowing the Holy Spirit to be the one, the Bible, again, is not going to contradict itself. He not only gives you the will to do it, he gives you the power to deny yourself. All he's looking for is you being willing to allow him to take control. He doesn't tell you that you even got to go to the spiritual gymnasium for 6 years in order to get the ability to do it. He'll take care of the heavy lifting. He wants
yeah.
you to be willing to step aside and let him do it. He will give you not only the desire to do that, if you're willing to listen to him, he will give you the ability to do it, the power to do it. Now,
yeah.
Read verse 12, and people say this contradicts 13. It absolutely doesn't contradict it.
Therefore, my beloved, and, yes, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
There you go. It's works. No, 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 no. Let's define the works that God accepts. God only accepts the works that the Holy Spirit gives us. Raven, I don't have this in there, but read 2 Timothy 1:9.
Okay.
Does the Bible say works? Yes. Well, that's contradictory to what you just said in 13. No, it is not, because we are defining works according to the flesh. Let's define these statements according to the Bible.
Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus, before time began.
Do you understand what that's saying?
That's
just saying that every human being, including the young lady that brought up 3 weeks ago the analogy of the parable of the seeds and the sower. Well, how could she do that? Very easy. The Holy Spirit determined before time began that if she were to deny herself and allow the Holy Spirit to transform her mind, renew her mind, give her spiritual wisdom, he determined before time began what she would do. That doesn't mean she has no choice. It all, we'll explain that. It all depends on if you reject that grace or you believe in it by faith. But do you see the works it's talking about? It's talking about now you do the works. The Bible terms the works, not the works that your church, your denomination, or some come along lately like myself. Well, you're a teacher. You need to go. You need to teach our Bible classes, or you need to be a greeter, or you need this. Come on, folks. The gifts are the gifts of the Spirit. You don't need anybody telling you what to do or what works to do. What you need to do is deny all human effort and seek the Holy Spirit. He will show you. Again, we got a person that has not been on this earth long enough to have learned all these false doctrines, and they come up with something 3 weeks ago that I'm still chirping about. The works are there. But they are works that are determined by the Holy Spirit, not by man's wisdom and knowledge. That's what Luke 9:23 says. Deny yourself. Deny your wisdom, your knowledge, your education. All the hassle Paul went through in 2 Corinthians 1:8-9, where he even despaired of life itself. You determine what you think that means. He said in every one of these things, it was meant so that God gave these things to him so he would not trust in himself, but trust in God. Every one of these hassles, including the thorn in the flesh. Prayed 3 years. God never took it away. Why? Who am I to question God? But he trusted that God was, number one, doing it for his good, because Romans 8:28 says God works all things for our good. Not saying they're all good, but he works them for our good. But Paul said in Thessalonians, he said in several places in other epistles that God, in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians, he said three times in just those two books, God allowed these things to happen so that he would depend on God, not on his own ability.
Yeah.
So you see where now this is working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But let's use the work. Let's define the word work by the Bible, not by what some yahoo who's gone to a two-week study and got a two-week associate degree in theology. And I'm exaggerating again to make a point. There's nothing wrong with education, but nothing beats the education the Holy Spirit will give you if you'll believe.
Amen. Amen.
So do you see where that works again? Just like I alluded to before, all the books we write on how to avoid sin, how to stop sinning, what is the difference between the sin and the works of sin? We haven't got these right, folks. Believe me, we don't. There is a difference between the sin that we've inherited, Ephesians 2, 1 through 7, and Romans 5, say 16 through 23. There's a difference between that inherited sin and the works of sin, which are the sins that we label sin. Strangely enough, in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, the Bible doesn't call them sins. It says works of the flesh. They most certainly are sin, lasciviousness, adultery, fornication, drunkenness, theft, murder. These are all sins. But there is a difference between the sins and sin. And you know what? I would doubt that you would get a biblical definition of the two. I'm telling you, when the Bible seems to contradict itself, as it does this verse, Philippians 2, 12 and 13, take my advice. Rather than spending over half your life chasing something that doesn't exist, make the assumption that maybe man is not defining the word the way the Bible does. Because if you are going to treat sins, Galatians 5, 19 through 21, the way most workbooks tell you and commentaries tell you, by doing anything in your own ability, you are going to live your life as a defeated Christian. You probably, if you're truly a believer and you will go to heaven, but you're never going to overcome sin. They give you all the ways to overcome sin. The Bible says in Romans 6, 14, you are no longer under the dominion of sin. That's what every Christian secretly wants, folks, including me. I get tired of fighting the same thing every day. Tired of fighting it. And then other people tell me, oh, I overcame this. I gave it to the Lord. No, no, no. Come on, man. I want to know more than that. You are no longer under the dominion of sin. Read the rest of the verse. If you do not put yourself under the law, if you are studying with anybody that is putting you under any kind of law and not grace. Now, then that means here's another good contradiction. Well, I don't have to obey the law. The heck we don't. We have to obey every bit of the law. But the way we obey the law is through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. Not that I get better. And yet, how many go to the Christian bookstore, please, and just read the titles of books? How to overcome this sin. How to overcome that sin. The Holy Spirit gave you one tool. It's by grace through faith. Deny your ability. Yeah, I'm getting a little bit off on a tangent, but not really. When the Bible is contradicting itself like Philippians 2, 12 and 13, you have been misled. It's taken me 30 years, well, I'm going to guess at least 25 years of spinning my wheels because I've allowed people to do my thinking rather than doing what the young lady who came up with a parable of seeds and the sower, she just let the Holy Spirit speak to her. That's the same way that we're to work through life. Okay. I hope I'm not being...
Philippians 3, 7 through 11. But what things were gained
to
me?
Philippians
3:7-11. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrections and the resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead.
That's exactly it. Allowing that to happen is what working out your salvation with fear and trembling means. It doesn't mean, as I've heard, the Bible contradicts itself. Okay, if I didn't beat that topic up too much, folks, but that is the first hurdle we have to overcome. We have to repent of our good works, and allow him by faith, allow his grace to be our power by faith. Repent of our good works. I don't need to repent of all my bad things. I mean, I don't need to be taught that. Excuse me. That's a mistake. I know I've got to repent of sin. I'm saying in order to be his disciple, we must repent of our good works, as Paul did. Paul was a number two man in the Jewish religion at that time, I've been told. I'm not a historian. But he looked, because he was looking at Judaism, not what true Judaism pointed to, and that was pointing to Jesus Christ. Everything was a symbolic and a type of Jesus Christ. But Paul was not looking at it that way. He was looking at it as an intellectual religion. And he came up here in verse 8, and what did he say in verse 8? I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord.
Amen.
Think of that. All things were gained to me. Those things I counted lost for Christ. This is an ongoing battle that the enemy is going to put in you at all times. He wants you to depend on your ability to do things. Now, don't get into that battle with people when they say, oh, then you're saying we're not to keep the law. That is not biblical. We are to keep the law, but we are to do it through the power of Jesus Christ. And that's what, and I know Winter is a lot more qualified to talk on this than I am. That's what all of the Old Testament and all the laws and the feasts and the celebrations were showing is everything that Jesus was going to do. But you see where Paul, he became a warrior and killed Christians. He went just the opposite of what the symbolism of his religion showed him, and he realized it. So in Philippians, that's very good. 3, if you read 6:7-11, that is Paul recognizing that he needed to deny his ability. He needed to deny his holiness, his discipline, and rely on what all of Judaism from the first lamb that was ever sacrificed by Abel, pointing to what the coming Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, would do. Hopefully this is making sense, what I'm saying. All right. Let's go. And we're going to do some reading. And I'm going to go, if you wouldn't mind, to Galatians chapter 2.
Okay.
And we are going to read verse 16-5. And I'm going to interrupt you, as you're well aware of. That's the only thing when you're born and raised in New York City, you have as a right of your birth is you can interrupt people. So Galatians 2:16 through Galatians 3:5. It says this. You will listen to this. You may not agree with it. You may not believe it. You may not want to do it. You may want to do it. You may believe it. But in any case, you can't deny what it says.
And as we know, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So here we go.
Yes, and that is in 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16, and 2 Peter, what is it, 2:20 and 21, or 1:20 and 21. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. All right. 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified.
Okay, let me explain this again, because people are going to use this to debate and show the Bible contradicts itself. Just like they asked Paul in Romans 6, 1 and 15. Well, then we get more grace abounds where sin abounds. That means the more sin and I do, the more grace I get. People actually said that. And then they said in 6, 15, well, let's just keep sinning. So we get more grace. It's unbelievable that people can go that way. But here's where they go with the law and Jesus. It says here, no one is justified by the works of the law, meaning that if my faith is not in Jesus Christ, which all the law pointed towards, I am not going to be justified before God because I, through my willpower, occasionally resisted sin. Everything in the Jewish law, everything that I have ever seen, I can't say everything, even though I believe it, because I haven't seen it. I've only seen a thimbleful compared to the Pacific Ocean in volume. But everything I see in Judaism, everything is pointing towards faith in Jesus Christ, and he gives you the power now to obey the law. But people will take this verse and say, well, then we don't have to obey the law. No, that's not what it's saying. If I'm doing it out of my self-righteousness, I'm better than Winter. I'm better than Raven. I work harder. I do more. That is what is wrong. The law is to point us in Galatians 3:24. It is our tutor. It is to bring us to Christ. But in no way is this saying we're absolved from observing the law. Now, if you're listening to this for the first time, you may think that I'm contradicting myself. And this is something that takes a long time and a lot of Bible verses to really get into your spirit. I was raised 100% in the law. 100% effort, self-discipline, self-righteousness. This took me years to unwind. But here's what he's saying. For the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. In other words, if I have no connection with Jesus Christ, which the law is pointing towards, and I'm just trying to obey the law, I will not be justified before God. Keep going.
All right.
17.
But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not.
What that's saying is when your faith is in Jesus Christ, you see yourself as you really are. That is what leading to repentance means. When the law has turned you to what the law was pointing you towards, and that is Jesus Christ, Galatians 3:24, you now see yourself for what you really are. the state that you're born in. No one seeks God. No one, not one. They're all sinners. All have sinned. That is leading you to repentance. That is the purpose of the law. Now, that meaning the law has done that doesn't mean that I don't have to obey the law. But now it is Christ's power working in me that will give me the ability to obey the law. Go ahead.
For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor.
Next to that verse, folks, if you're paying it, hold on. Next to that verse, put Romans chapter 7. That's exactly what he's talking about in Romans 7. He was born again. He felt the freedom. All of a sudden, the law came in, and he went back to trying to obey the law in his strength. Go ahead, 19.
Mm-hmm. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God.
Doesn't mean that you're not responsible for the law. It's just that you don't do it in your own strength. Go ahead.
I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Doesn't say you don't have to obey the law. It says you're living your life through faith in Christ, meaning you have denied your goodness. You have denied any ability or effort you can put forth, and you are allowing Jesus Christ to live through you. That is exactly that's exactly what I see the entire Old Testament. And believe me, I am not any way, shape, or form. I consider myself knowledgeable in the Old Testament, and I'm not being humble. I just started getting into the tons and tons of treasures the Old Testament has. But everything I see is pointing me to this freedom in Christ. Nothing says to me, Carl, you don't have to be concerned with the law. So let's not criticize those people who celebrate things in the Jewish faith that are those celebrate this. Greg Hershberger, remember Terry Raven, a girl named Terry?
Yes.
Okay, a girl that I used to call boss because she was my lead, if you want to call it a boss, over a volunteer in one of the nursing facilities. I volunteered at. Okay. She gave me the name of this Greg Hershberger, a Jewish fellow from Brooklyn, New York, who became a Christian evangelist. And I listened to about a 35, 40-minute YouTube definition. And he went through all the different, and he's a Christian evangelist, but he observes all of these different feasts. But he says he's not observing this with a mentality that he's becoming better by doing it. He's observing it to put his mind, for instance, he observes the Sabbath, but he doesn't do it because he's better than I am because he observed the Sabbath for a day rather than 1 hour. He does it in order to give himself the soul. What's the word you use? Isolation, if you would, from all the nuts stuff in the world so that he can focus on Jesus Christ. Greg Hershberger, H-E-R-S-C-H-B-E-R-G-E-R. He does a great job of telling you when people are observing these Jewish feasts and traditions and rituals, don't openly criticize them unless you if they're doing it for the purpose it was meant to do, which was to lead to the coming Messiah, then you better not criticize them. But unfortunately, folks, just like, yes.
So he, like if he would miss it for one day, he wouldn't be all flipped out or anything. He would understand that, you know, it's not, it isn't.
That's exactly right. But let me tell you something. The very people who criticize those who still allow the Jewish the Jewish customs and rules and rituals and whatever to lead them to Jesus Christ. Those people are the ones that haven't taken the advice of the old Jewish traditions. They're the ones that flip out if you're not there for one day. And you, Raven, have known someone who gets phone calls if they're not there for one day.
Right.
What do you mean
right.
by miss it for one day? Can we just clarify what that means to
yeah,
you?
Yeah, we can. Sure, we can. We can, yes. When you're sick and you're not in church for 2 weeks, you get a phone call. Where have you been? We expect you
right.
to be here. You're living for Christ. They're making a religion out of their works.
Because my Sabbath isn't even in a building.
What do you mean by miss it?
Well, like, I don't miss the concentrated devotion
to
Christ.
Let me answer the question
on the Sabbath ever. Like, that's not even, and in fact, a lot of times it goes until midnight, way past sundown. Like, it's not even possible to miss it.
Winter, you're jumping way ahead. Let me answer the question because I've been.
No, I was posing it to Raven because she was the one that posed the comment.
Okay, but
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely.
We have taken scriptural commands and we have made a religious observance out of them. We have done that in so-called Christian churches. I have witnessed it, where we now berate a person because they weren't here on a certain day. Telling you, you're so far beyond me in this, I don't have the right to even talk about it, but I am telling you that the very people who harp on doing something, they have made a religious tradition out of it, missing what the whole point of the Sabbath is. Now, you do understand what I'm saying, right?
Sure. It's called being a Pharisee. It's called using the Sabbath to be Pharisaical. And Jesus addressed that with his disciples on the Sabbath as he taught his disciples how to keep the Sabbath and addressed the Pharisees in their hypocrisy on the Sabbath.
I totally understand. I'm just beginning on this. It is no way, shape, or form that I'm going to get into the entirety of the Sabbath. I'm not even qualified to. I'm just saying that just in our everyday churches today, we have actually made a Pharisaical law out of being present, not even paying attention to what the purpose of the Sabbath is. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I'm addressing. I don't even know the depth that you do as far as the meaning of the Sabbath, but I'm just looking at it from the people who do not deny themselves. In other words, when you get a call from someone who says you've missed two Sunday in a row, why are you doing that? They are questioning you from a Pharisaical, hypocritical obedience to the law rather than even thinking about what the Sabbath means. That is the point that I'm trying to make. Is that understandable?
I hear you. That happens. I think sometimes when churches call, they call because they care and they miss you too. And sometimes it's noteworthy when they don't call. So it goes back to what's in the heart of the person, honestly, on all of this.
The example I'm using happened to a friend of mine, and I witnessed it, and it was done under a berating critical. You're right. Not everybody who calls you. I can't say that. Of course not. But I'm saying I have witnessed the Pharisaical, hypocritical demand of observing the Sabbath. I'm only speaking of what I've seen. Are there people who are sincere? Absolutely. But I'm not speaking of them right now.
And you're probably speaking about Sunday worship at the moment, correct? Like
amen. Amen.
Church.
Amen.
Church.
But my point is, if they are truly denying themselves, they wouldn't be taking that pharisaical, hypocritical, self-righteous criticism of the other person. I'm not going anywhere beyond that point. I'm just hitting the very, very fringe area of it. Okay. So, again, this is Paul, and what he's doing in here is he is telling them, did you read verse 20?
Let's see.
Raven of Galatians 2.
Right. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Okay. You live by the faith of the Son of God. That means you deny yourself. Deny
right.
self and allow grace to flow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen.
Keep going.
I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain.
Okay. If I believe that righteousness comes because I obey more than Winter does, and not through faith in Christ, Christ died in vain. I didn't say that.
Yeah.
The Bible does.
Yeah.
Deny yourself.
Amen.
Go to a real life situation here. Let's go to Galatians 3 and read 1 through 5.
Okay.
This is a real life situation.
Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Or, and of course we know the flesh means human effort. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?
So again,
just as
we're not saying the law is meaningless. What we're saying is your obedience to the law must come through your faith in Jesus Christ. Not the other way, not through your willpower, your ability. Do you see? Does anyone not see that? That's a stupid question. I only have three people that are communicating right now. But you see in 3:1-5, these are real believers.
Yeah.
Who has bewitched you? You obey the truth. You who obey the truth. Before whose eyes Christ was crucified. He says to you, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law, meaning by your ability? Again, works of the law, your ability, or by faith. Are you foolish, so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, meaning they're truly Christians, you're now going back to the flesh. This is the whole chapter 7, in my opinion, or a good part of chapter 7 of Romans. Paul describing what happens when a believer puts himself in the conflict of now trying to attain righteousness by his religious ability rather than by living by faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right. Now let's say that someone refuses this. Verse 6 is like a baseball bat in the knees. Read that.
Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham.
Okay, let's focus on six.
Okay.
Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Why? If you do not believe God, all of your righteous works are through your own effort and mean nothing. So when
yeah.
I reject what the Bible is saying, and I am now going to interject my willpower, my ability, my righteousness, and I am going to be like a Pharisee that I alluded to before, who was a Pharisaical and hypocritical, that made phone calls making people feel guilty because they missed, depending on self-effort, depending on the flesh. When I do that, folks, I'm not believing God, because God says it all starts with faith.
Amen.
Now, where does that faith lead? That in Jesus Christ now leads to you obeying the law. So again, you can't go one way or you can't go the other. The people that say you don't obey, need to obey the law, they're just as far off the planet as the ones who say that obeying the law is how I'm righteous. You need to do both. You need to obey the law, but allow faith in Jesus Christ and his power living in you to do it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't make
sense, do me a favor. It does, because that's the new covenant.
Right, exactly. You got it, exactly. But the new covenant is not anything new. We've heard it from the beginning as the Epistle of John. It's just showing how it is completed in us. Read
right, the commandments moved from stone to our heart.
Amen. Now you're, thank you. That's a perfect word. I hadn't thought of that. That's where the whole problem lies. In your heart. In your heart, are you submitting to Jesus Christ, or are you submitting to self-righteousness? Read Galatians 2:20. You've had, that is a perfect word to use. Read Galatians 2:20 again, Raven. You can't,
I can't
say it better than this.
I have been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Do you see where that's showing with the heart, what she said? All
yes.
of this stuff has got to be done through the heart.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
And look what Paul says, chapter 3. He's talking to people who are believers. There are people who say, people I know very well, who say, well, they were never saved. Don't read Galatians 3:1-5 and tell me you've graduated from kindergarten and tell me that this doesn't say that these people are saved. How did you receive the Holy Spirit? By the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish?
Right.
He wouldn't be speaking to these people if they were definitely lost and never believed the gospel. It'd be a meaningless conversation. Not only that, but all the epistles are written to believers.
Yeah.
In fact, here, let me read the beginning of Galatians. Chapter 1, verse 2. To all the brethren, means believers, which are
yeah.
with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, meaning he would only say that to a believer, that he might deliver
yeah.
us from this present evil world. And yet there are people look at this and they say, no, if they fell away, they were never believers to begin with. That is a heresy.
Yeah.
Okay, but the point I want to get to, you want to argue this? And I'm not saying work it out so you understand it. There's a difference. But you want to deny
right.
it? You want to look at what it says and say it doesn't mean that? Or you want to add to or subtract? I'm not saying answer to me. Ho-ho! Nobody answers to me. But you're going to answer to the person we're all going to answer to. If you look at this and you understand it and you don't believe it, you are accountable for the opposite of verse 6. Read Galatians 3:6.
Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness.
So if I read it and it really makes sense to me, and I say I don't believe it or choose not to, I'm going to have a problem on Judgment Day. And you're not going to have to explain yourself to Carl. I want people to look at this stuff and think, examine yourself. This is what working out your salvation with fear and trembling means. Take everything that you believe. Why not put it under the microscope of the Scripture? Does everything I believe line up with what the Scripture says? Today we talked Saturday morning at 7 a.m. here. We had an hour and a half Bible study with several people. And we brought up a very, very, very serious topic. And what that topic showed me is I had better examine everything that I hold as belief, not under my wisdom or knowledge, but I got to put it under the microscope of the Scripture. And then what it comes down to is if I've got to say I'm wrong, say so be it. Because the only righteousness that Abraham had was he believed God. We want to talk and argue about law, and I'm not saying we do, but people do. When Abraham was counted righteous, it was 500 years or more before the commandments were given. There was no law. See, the righteousness God demands, folks, is belief in him. And that's what all the, as I understand, and again, I'm only touching the surface, Winter, of what you've told me. Everything in the Old Testament is pointing as a type and a shadow or a symbol to what Jesus Christ would do for us and us living by faith in him. Now, let's say you don't have any understanding of this. The Holy Spirit is not unfair. He's only going to hold you responsible for what you understand. But he does tell you, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, if I open my Bible every Christmas and Easter, whether I need to or not, I'm not going to be able to plead, well, Holy Spirit, I didn't know this. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Dig into the Word. Let's say you don't understand something. Read. The Holy Spirit will bring it to you. The Bible interprets the Bible. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm getting repetitive, and I report to a higher power. He's told me when I start repeating to shut up. So, all right. We have 21 minutes. A real life. Go to Titus 2. And Winter,
okay.
I believe you and I have covered this also. Titus 2.
Yes.
We covered it with Teresa. This is a very good real life putting leather to the ground, you know, putting boots to the ground using what we're talking about. Okay,
okay.
Raven, I want you to read 2:11 and stop.
Yes. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert.
I'm sorry.
For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men.
Biblical statement. Thursday night, I had a very sincere lady that has difficulty with this. It seems to her that God, she didn't say this, but the implication is that why are there people who have never had the opportunity we have in this country? The Bible says here and in Romans chapter 1, 18 through 25, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That grace does what? It is the grace that if you by faith, you're saved by grace through faith, not of works of your own, so no one can boast. That's Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. That grace appears to every human being who ever lived. If that is not a true statement, I would be an atheist. God does not play favorites. He's a respecter of no person. He gives everybody an amount of grace to bring them to salvation. Now, that same grace, once we have that grace, I want you to read 12 and 14, and it tells us that that same grace, which is by grace through faith, not of works of our own, so the very grace that saves us is the same grace that eliminates all of my effort to live a good life, to deny worldly lust, to deny ungodliness, to live righteously in this present world. That same grace, which only comes by faith, which is faith in him living through me, Galatians 2:20. That same grace not only purifies me, sanctifies me, but what else does it do? Verse 14, it redeems us from all iniquity and purifies unto him a peculiar people zealous of good works. So now I'm back down to where, folks, all of our good works follow saving faith. This goes back to where we started. Your good works do not save you. You're not justified by obeying a law. As that grace that you respond to in 2:11 of Titus works in you through the power of the Holy Spirit, that grace will now give you the good works that Olivia read. I think she read it. Somebody read it in Titus or 2 Timothy 1:9. The good works that God predestined for us before time began. So, amen. All these things that we do are not because of our effort. They are because of the work of the Holy Spirit in us and Ephesians 2, 8, 9, not by works of our own so no one can boast. It's by grace through faith. But you see, once you act on that saving grace of Titus 2, 11, you now deny ungodly and worldly lust. You now live soberly and righteously and godly in this world. You now are redeemed from all iniquity. You now are purified as a peculiar people. And now you have good works. But don't use the good works in place of 2:11. Does that make sense?
Amen.
All right. Let's. Now I've stole that thunder. Read 11 through 14.
All right. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
There, let me interrupt on this. This is telling us, folks, that until Christ returns, this is the way we're to live.
Yes, amen.
Go ahead.
Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works.
Okay. Well, you're only picking one thing in the Bible, Carl, okay? I'll accept that. Let's go to Ephesians 2:10, Raven. It's not on your list. I'm getting creative here.
That's all right. That's okay. For we are his workmanship.
Raven, just you can go ahead and read it. I need to do something, but go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, you read.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
That prepared beforehand refers to 2 Timothy 1:9. They were prepared in the mind of God before time began. He's talking about good works. But you know what? Even if you've never heard of a God, you do realize that verse 10 follows 8:9. What is the what has to be in before verse 10 happens? You have to read 8-9. Let's see what gives the motivation and the impetus to these good works. Read 8 and 9.
For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
So you see, well, we're back down. Well, then you're telling me works are not important. You never even went there. Works are important. We're seeing where how works are the result of the saving faith in verse 8. We're seeing how works. Yeah. Yeah.
The closer we get to God, the more the Holy Spirit, the more we walk in the Spirit, the more the Holy Spirit becomes our life, the more He takes over, and works just become natural, if I can use that word.
It's not something, Raven, and I'm not going to mention, but you've been with me when we've heard this, that they're going to teach us how to have spiritual gifts. They're going to teach us what our gifts are. They're going to teach us how to use them. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I just came off of Captain Video and the Video Rangers rocket ship. It's a spiritual gift. You mean the Holy Spirit can't show me? Do you see how embedded people who say and argue about the fact they argue that the whole idea of Judaism is a religion of works? Do you see where they are preaching the same thing, everything they're doing? They've just got a dip. Folks, the sin of my works being good is not something that I can ascribe to the Jewish, to Judaism, or to Catholicism, or to any other denomination. It is a sin that you don't believe God, because His word very clearly says that He is the crafter. He is the one who gives you the ability, the power, and the desire to do the works. And you only get to Him through faith. And as Winter has showed me patiently, because I'm a slow learner, it is everything in the Old Testament was a type, a shadow, and I'm using her word, or symbolic, pointing to Jesus Christ, who would fulfill this command of God in us. Does this make sense?
Well, can I speak to that for a second?
Absolutely. I don't know. Here, you can speak to it, but address that. I just don't want to jump way ahead because I'm only addressing.
Right. So this is just my own observation of.
No, go right ahead.
God's
That's what I want.
Way
I
of.
Want your, I want your heart.
Communication.
Not what people have put in your mind. Okay.
Right.
Yep.
So when He created the heaven and the earth, He created a physical realm patterned after Himself. He put reflections of Himself in different ways into it. And in man, He gave to man, he needed to find a way to communicate Himself to man, and did so, you know, through the prophets. Ultimately, He gave Moses the Ten Commandments. The people didn't want to go to Him, so He gave them the Ten Commandments, and it was on stone. It was, you know, keep it simple, ten commandments. And then He taught them the feast days, and all of it had a spiritual meaning pointing to who He was, that by and through exercising it, they would understand Him better. Now, many of them, in fact, most of them, began to do it ritualistically, and some of them, and many of them in some cases, went a pagan way and completely went off track. But I think that's why people look at them and say, you know, they were trying to get to heaven by good works. He charged them with His charge, with His Ten Commandments. And so now in further making Himself manifest, not that it was not manifest then, but in the process of time, when Christ came, He revealed in Hebrews the new covenant, being that of the Ten Commandments on the heart. And then, you know, Christ even takes that further and takes the first four and bundles it in the one, to love him with all your heart, and takes the last six and bundles it to love your neighbor as yourself. And so we can see it's basically expanding on what Raven just said. It becomes natural, and that's what he wants from us, is it to be natural. He wants, but what is natural is not necessarily what is learned, although faith comes by hearing the word of God, but it's the transformation that happens in your heart that ultimately makes it natural and makes you like him, makes him received inside of you, if that makes sense. That's kind of the long way around how I see it.
It does come by learning, though, but if your learning has got to come from the word of God, not from man's wisdom.
Correct. And like any relationship, spending time with him makes that relationship stronger and helps both of you understand each other better. Of course, God understands us perfectly without anything because he created us, but, you know, in natural relationships.
You know, I'm gonna interject something here, and not to show false humility, because Raven's always criticized me for an ego. I'm only kidding. Folks, if you want, and I am serious about this, if you want to go, I have only touched the very surface of this. If you want to go to someone who understands and practices, and I'm not saying this to make her feel good or puff her up or anything of that nature. I've never met the lady. Listen to Winter's program at 6 to 9 Eastern time, or what it'd be, 5 to 8 Central, on this very radio program, and even call in and pick her brain as far as how Judaism was all pointing towards biblical Christianity. I had a 2-hour conversation with her offline this week at night where she was explaining this to me, and she does understand much further than I could even think of going right now, but she does have the proper understanding of everything that she does, which observes the traditions, the Sabbath, the feast, the different rituals. She does not, and she said this clearly about a month and a half ago at night, she does not do it out of a religious spirit. She's doing it because it's all pointing towards what Judaism was pointing towards, and that is the New Testament of faith in the coming Jesus Christ. I am only sort of, in fact, in all honesty, I'm bailing out of this because I am learning this from her as her and I talk. I do not have the full concept of what the Old Testament really, the wealth of jewels it has. I'm only touching the basics, and I mean the basics, just opening the door. But if you really want to get deeper into it, I don't know what her program tonight or any other program is, but if you were to ask a question and sincerely want to have this explanation of where Judaism from Genesis 1:1 is predicting everything that we have in the New Testament, I'm going to take the liberty of saying, call her up and ask her. I assume you wouldn't mind that.
That's, I certainly don't mind that. I would certainly,
we don't have,
you know,
we don't
answer
have
by the Holy Spirit. And
that is what the whole Old Testament is pointing towards, the Holy Spirit. And Teresa, are you with us?
She wasn't feeling well today again, and I don't think she is joining us.
Who do I have on another 8-0? That's got to be, no, that's you. I apologize. Excuse me.
Might,
okay. But Teresa yesterday, remember she read that verse in John 7, 37 through 39. In fact, Winter, why don't you read that? John 7, 7 through 7, 37 through 39. That's right. I'm confused. That's your number I'm looking at. Pardon me. She's not
right.
Even your same area code. She's in North Carolina.
Oh.
My son lives in her area code, and I
first
don't even
starts
know.
With a seven.
Sure.
Okay, so in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Did you want me to read 39, did you say?
Yep.
"But this spake he, the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified."
You see where everything in the Old Testament, and this is where I'm going to say, don't come to me to get any deeper than I've given you today. Go to Winter on her program, 6 to 9 Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Everything that she just said was pointing to these verses where after Christ was glorified, meaning he died on the cross, he paid for sin. The Holy Spirit now dwell in us. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. But everything that all of Judaism and the Old Testament, is it the Torah, the first five books, all the ceremonial laws, all the rituals, all the observance of the commandments and everything, all pointed towards this fulcrum point of John 7:37, 37 through 39, where the Holy Spirit, through faith in Jesus Christ, would now do for us everything that they were enacting in the Old Testament. You want to speak, if this is something that interests you, and I'm not speaking to any of the, either Raven or Winter or Olivia, if you want to go further into this, and I recommend you do, because there is tremendous ignorance about this topic, because most of the churches don't understand it. Winter is
well, I'll
as
tell
good
you, there's a Christian ministry called Warrior Bride Ministries that even teaches me a lot. They, like, say during Passover in the spring, they take an hour every day of the Passover and they teach you what that day meant in the Old Testament, and you can see all of the types and shadows fulfilled when Christ was here perfectly. And it's just it's such a faith increaser and so enlightening. But
hold on,
so
if that is something that
interests you, you can go spend 10 hours on just the Passover at Warrior Bride Ministries. And they do that with all the feasts. Warrior Bride Ministries. Warrior, W-A-R-R-I-O-R, Bride Ministries.
Okay.
And they're on Facebook.
Gotcha.
You can reach them in their website from Facebook.
I'm just saying that
they're from Atlanta.
I believe I did an inadequate job, and I'm not being humble. It's just something I've been exposed to recently through Winter. But if you really want to get into this, folks, go to the one who has studied this and knows it. We got only 60 seconds. Raven, would you say a closing prayer? I'm now being counted down.
Uh-huh. Father, we thank you so much for this study that we've had today. We are so appreciative of the grace that you give us in order that we can reach out to people who are so interested in hearing more about Christ, who need you. Father, we thank your Holy Spirit for being here with us today and helping us to learn. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, now just before we sign off, I gave the people a time slot. The name of the program tonight?
1 minute till midnight.
Yep, okay, thank you.
5 to 8 Central, 6 to 9 Eastern.
1 minute till midnight. I got 2 seconds. Thank you for joining us. Have a good night.
Libby says good night.
Okay. Tell Betty I said hello.